soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Blessings. And good morning. I thought you might like to know that on average, every Sunday, between Sunday and Monday, these talks are downloaded around the world approximately 61 to 65 times. So that's the size of our group, about 65 people. Of course, that doesn't take into account those in the invisible realms that are also listening, but we have a pretty nice group. And everyone in it is elevated in consciousness. That is, they are finding the path home. Now, years ago, I had a little book, a little black book, called The Impersonal Life. The Impersonal Life. And I really enjoyed that book. I probably read that book for the first time when I was 15 years old. So that would be almost 40 years ago. About 38 years ago, I guess. That's how long I've been seeking within. And of course, all those early books led me eventually on to where I discovered the art of meditation and learned how to go within for myself. Then, of course, I, being young, still wanted to experience the world, and so I did, both the good and the bad, that this world is so, has so much of each to offer. Eventually, I returned to the spiritual path in earnest and learned how to go within and receive not only a feeling of the presence, not only being able to behold healings, but also being able to receive what I call impartations from within, from the center of my being, or, if you prefer, from Christ or the Father within. This week, that little book, the title of that little book, not the book, but the title, the three words, The Impersonal Life, has returned within my consciousness, and I've been mulling it over and contemplating it, and certain things have been revealed to me. Now, of course, everybody won't find this useful, but this is what was revealed to me. And if you find it helpful, then blessings to you, too. And so, in looking at the impersonal life, I started to see that, what does that mean, the impersonal life? What did Paul mean? I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. What does that mean to die daily? And I started looking at an impersonal life and a personal life. And I remembered something from just a little two or three lines from Realization of Oneness, which really sums it up quite nicely. Because it says, under lifting up the eye, as we dwell in the awareness of our divine consciousness, the natural man of us is dying. Why is it dying? It is fed by our thoughts. And when our human life, our carnal selfhood, is not in our thoughts, it is dying. The more we live in the conscious awareness of God as constituting our being, the more the natural man is being lessened, until finally it fades away entirely. And so, I started looking at that impersonal life. What is this impersonal life? How does it live right here? And the key, of course, was, which I realized before finding confirmation in the book, if I have my human life, or my personal sense of self, or anyone's personal sense of self, in my thoughts, in my mind, then I am living a personal sense of life. Most of you know that my dad, here on planet Earth, has given his consent to make the transition or pass away. Die, we call it. And it seems that no one can talk him out of it. And so I've also been looking at what is it that really dies? In fact, what is it that is really born? How many places do we read, you were never born, you can never die? And we think, oh, that's, isn't that beautiful? But if we enter into those statements, that's what I call meditating on, entering into the statement. It must make you ponder. What exactly was born? And what exactly can die? We are told that we are to cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. That's a very, well, that's a hidden statement, because it does not say how. Once we realize that we're living a personal sense of self or a personal sense of life, how do we come out from that? Because I guarantee you, if you're living in a personal sense of life, that life will come to an end. And you'll experience the fear and the sadness and, well, everything else that goes along with that sense of existence. The personal sense of life will come to an end. Have you ever wondered what would happen if you stepped out of a personal sense of life before the so-called end? What then would become of death? Let us suppose you're living in an impersonal life. What then of you could die? Well, even logically and intellectually, you have to agree, nothing. A personal sense could come to an end, but if you were not living in it, could you come to an end? Is this not what is meant by finding out, knowing God rightly, and discovering your own eternal life? Knowing God rightly must have something to do with this impersonal sense of life. You see, all of these musings and ponderings this week have been leading up to the realization that we must find a way to step out of a personal sense of life and dwell consciously in an impersonal life. I know we come to a message such as mysticism or metaphysics, and we get excited when the principles begin to work. When our income is doubled, it's considered a pretty nice demonstration that God is my supply. When we realize that God is all companionship, and then a companion shows up, how wonderful it is. And trust me, I'm a part of this. I had this same experience. How wonderful it is to realize God is my companion, and God is my supply. And if we have a physical problem and we realize God is the substance of my form, and then suddenly the physical problem is dissolved or in some way met, there's no more pain, no more evidence of a problem, even the no smell of smoke, it's fabulous. Wow, this thing works and we're excited about it. And that's exactly as it should be in the early days. But those of us that have been on this path for some time, we reach a place where we may apply the same principles that we learned, and yet now the problem's not met. Or we may have this empty feeling inside. Okay, I have the companion, my soulmate, if you will. I have an adequate amount of supply, enough to share some. I have a pretty good state of health. Just little problems now and then, but for the most part, a pretty good state of health. But there is something missing. Something's missing. I can't put my finger on it. I know I haven't arrived. So we return to the books. And if we search diligently, if we really look, if there's a burning desire inside to find what it is we have missed, we begin to contemplate at depth, really, long hours into the night sometimes, what is this personal life that must die? And how does it die? And what is this immortality I must put on? And how do I put it on? Yes, we are ready to enter what has been called the third degree, or the mysticism, the mystical part of Christ's teaching. Now we're ready to honestly search ourselves and find out if we're dying daily or just sort of playing around the edges. And when we look at this deeply, as I have been doing for at least a couple of years now, more, several things begin to bring themselves to our attention. In our meditations, principles and truths are imparted to our conscious awareness. They come from within, from the Christ, which is wanting to live our lives. That is when we begin to suspect things. Did you know that there is no such thing as your supply? Really, there is no such thing as your supply, as my supply. In the past, we thought it was okay to pray for an increase in our supply, or to practice the principles in order to multiply our supply. But we are beginning to see, I am beginning to see, and I am sure you are beginning to see, we cannot pull God into our humanhood. Something else that occurred to me this week, God is too pure to behold iniquity. Means God is too pure to behold your human identity. Which is kind of interesting when you think about it, because here we have been, some of us, beating ourselves up for past mistakes of omission or commission. And God is too pure to behold any of it. This whole notion of needing to be forgiven is some sort of religious nonsense, really. No, in the conscious awareness of the impersonal life, you discover there is no one to be forgiven. Because when the I is lifted up within you, you too are too pure to behold humanhood. Think about that. When the I is lifted up within you, you are too pure to behold your humanhood, or any humanhood. So, what then must we do to die to a personal sense of life and come into the conscious awareness, the feel of an impersonal life living itself? Well, we were given the clue when we were told that as long as there is a personal sense of life in our thoughts, we're feeding it. We are not dying. And that is why, when we think of our supply, as my supply, we are trying to pull God into a personal sense of life, and it won't work. We must look at this as an impersonal life, an impersonal supply. And I can tell you, for me, how that was revealed. By now, we should know that supply is nothing you can see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. All supply is invisible. And so this out here that you thought was your supply is not. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no personal supply. All supply is invisible. All supply is invisible spiritual substance. And it is eternal. Never ending. But it is invisible and incorporeal. Supply is invisible spiritual substance. And it is impersonal. It's not attached, nor does it belong to any person. All supply belongs to the impersonal Christ, the Son of God, the individualization of God. God itself, individualized, has invisible, infinite, spiritual substance, which forms itself for Christ, for Christ to use. What about companions? We look at our companion, if we're married or we have a spouse or a partner, we look at our companion as my companion. There is no such companion. This is a personal sense of life and a personal sense of companion. I tell you truly, God has never given a companion to a person. So if you are thinking in terms of my wife, my husband, my partner, my friend, or even my enemy, you are living a personal sense of life, and it is being fed by your thoughts. In meditation, it has been revealed to me that God's omnipresence is the only companionship. God itself, omnipresence itself, is my only companion, is the only companion. And so, if I have a personal companion, I am living in a dream. You see what we're doing? I know you must. We're walking around entertaining in our minds the second chapter of Genesis. We are walking in a world that is made up of thoughts. It's not an external world. It's not a real world. It is a false creation. And so we're entertaining a false sense of supply. We're entertaining a false sense of companionship. And we are entertaining a false sense of life. And we are praying to God, trying to add God to our humanhood. We are trying to pull God into the second chapter of Genesis, which God is too pure to behold. So every prayer uttered to God to pull God into the second chapter of Genesis, into this world created by thoughts, every prayer uttered to God misses the mark. It really is a sin, isn't it? It's missing the mark. Think about that, really. It's quite interesting. All of those prayers uttered, and there are millions, billions, and trillions, are sins. They're missing the mark. And we think that our much praying makes us holy. Oh, it's just fabulous to me how the human mind can twist and turn things and believe it is somehow becoming spiritual. And so getting back to the point, in our meditation we ask, well, what is life? I asked one time, and I can only reveal to you what has been revealed to me. I asked one time, well, what is this body when not seen through a glass darkly? And I heard as plain as if somebody was talking to me, the voice said, I am. And oh, wow, I just was speechless. I can't pull God into this mental creation and say, fix this body. God is too pure to behold a personal body. And so we turn within in meditation and say, well, what is life? And we hear, I am the life. And we hear, there is one spiritual body of Christ. And it leaves us with no thoughts, which is a very good thing, because when a personal sense of life is not in our thoughts, it's dying. It's fading. So there is no personal supply. God has never given any one person supply. Invisible spiritual substance is all supply, and it belongs to Christ. The spiritual individualization of God. All companionship is the one infinite omnipresence. And it is the invisible, infinite individualization of God itself. And all life is, yes, you guessed it, the infinite individualization of God itself. So there is no personal life. There never was. And what you have to ask yourself is, how often am I entertaining a personal life, a personal sense of life? Because that personal sense of life, also known as the natural man, cannot receive the things of God. That personal sense of life cannot receive anything of God. Let's just say it plainly. Striving, seeking, praying, it can receive nothing of God. You cannot be in a personal sense of life and receive the things of God. And so if you are seeking spiritual truth, you better get out of a personal sense of life if you want to receive it. And this is done by lifting up the eye. It begins with paying attention, being consciously aware. What's on your mind throughout the day, throughout the night? Is it a personal sense of life? Something about your life, or a personal sense of life you're looking at, such as your children's, or your neighbors, or your friends, or your enemies? Is it a personal sense of life, a personal sense of body you're entertaining? What about your companionship? Are you entertaining a personal sense of companionship? My wife, my mother, my father, my friend, my enemy, my brother, my sister, my boss, my neighbors. There is no such companionship or companion. No such entity was ever made anywhere by God. That's why it cannot receive the things of God. God never made it. God's not aware of it. It's only you that's aware of this personal sense of life. You see, when we are told that we must forsake mother and father and brother and sister for Christ, it's not talking about running off somewhere and living by the seaside and leaving all your responsibilities behind. We know now each scripture is talking about an internal experience. And this one is talking about forsaking all for Christ, forsaking all personal sense of self anywhere for Christ, forsaking all personal sense of supply for Christ, or God, if you prefer, or the presence. I don't care what term you use. Forsaking all for the sake of the Tao. Forsaking all for the sake of the is. So, let us step out of a personal sense of self. Now, when you find yourself, when you find in your mind that your mind is entertaining a personal sense of life, my body, his body, her body, that is the time to stop. Just stop. Remind yourself, this is the second chapter of Genesis. This is the mental creation. This is hypnotism. That's a word I've been working with this week. I see it going on in my mind, and I say, hypnotism. And I drop it. And I remind myself, God is the only life. God was never born, never dying, infinite, eternal, immortal. God is the only life, and I rest. A few minutes later, or a few hours later, or a day later, and I'm thinking about in the mind, well, let's see, by the 15th, if I don't have another $150, I'm going to probably need to juggle this and move that. And I stop. Hold on a minute. Hypnotism. The mind is entertaining a personal sense of supply. And I drop it. Christ is here. Christ is living itself as itself everywhere. And the earth is Christ's and the fullness thereof. Christ is living itself as infinite supply, appearing as and when, however it needs it. I saw the story of the loaves and the fishes. That wasn't given to a human being. It was Christ that had unlimited supply. And so, let me be still. Christ itself, living right here, is infinite supply. And a day or two later, and I look at perhaps someone close in my family that has decided that they're dying, and for a moment I think about the person, this, that, and we did this and went there, and wait a minute, hypnotism, again, here's a personal sense of self, which God never made, being entertained in the mind. No such self exists. God is the only companion, the only companionship. God is omnipresence. There will never be a place or a time where omnipresence doesn't exist. Any place where I may find myself, any time, any planet, any dimension, omnipresence is with me. For omnipresence is me. I am my own companionship. And I rest. I rest. In this way, we are putting off mortality and putting on the impersonal life. In the beginning, God. God plus nothing leaves God. God is living its impersonal life everywhere. God's impersonal life is omnipresence itself. God's impersonal life is infinite supply, appearing always in perfect order, exactly as it should. God is the only life, omnipresence. And here I was thinking in terms of a personal self, personal supply, personal health, personal companion, personal this, that, and the other. As long as there's no personal sense of life, or companionship, or supply, or health, or wisdom, or knowledge entertained in the mind, then that false sense of self is dying. As long as I remain consciously aware of an impersonal sense of life, an impersonal sense of supply, an impersonal companionship, an impersonal sense of wisdom, an impersonal sense of being, then the conscious awareness of it is rubbing out the parenthesis. And the more I stay in that conscious awareness of the impersonal I, living itself as itself, everywhere, the closer I get to the day when this personal sense of self has been completely rubbed out or has completely faded away. And it is at that point that death has been overcome for all time. Because it is at that point that you are living, standing, consciously aware of your eternal Christ identity. You will never, ever have to entertain a personal sense of self. It's only a personal sense of self that can incarnate. And so you will have stepped out of the need, or the desire, or the belief that you can incarnate. You will know yourself and all self as the only self, the eternal self. I was reading the other day something in the Bible which I want to share with you. Let me find it. I shall be right back. This, of course, is Isaiah 61. And it's just beautiful because it tells us what happens when the impersonal life begins to live us. It tells us what's going to happen when that impersonal life begins to dissolve the personal sense of self. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." And that means that Isaiah has done exactly what we're talking about. He has seen where he was living a personal sense, entertaining a personal sense of self, or life, or companionship, or supply. And he caught himself, and he became quiet, he became still, and then that impersonal Christ life suddenly was consciously realized right where he was. And with it came its mission, came an awareness of its mission. And so he tells us that the impersonal life is upon him, and it has been anointed to preach good tidings unto the meek. It has been sent to bind up the brokenhearted. Of course, the brokenhearted are those who really are weary of this world and want to come out of it at last. And it says, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, the captives are those that are caught, stuck in a tomb, stuck in the tomb of a mortal life, age upon age upon age. And so this impersonal Christ life, when consciously realized, is going to set those free who have been captives in a mortal sense of existence. And it says it's going to open the prison to them that are bound. And what are we bound to? We are bound to a personal sense of life, or bound to a personal sense of supply, or bound to a personal sense of companionship, or bound to a personal sense of body, or bound to a personal sense of mind. Yet this Spirit of God, the invisible, impersonal life, has come to bind up the brokenhearted, give liberty to the captives, and open the prison doors to those that were bound. Isaiah is telling us what to look for. Because when it is really the Spirit of God, that is, God individualized as Christ consciousness, when we have the actual living awareness of the impersonal life, this is how we know, because we are experiencing being healed of our weariness of this world. We are experiencing being lifted out of it. We are experiencing, well, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But liberty from what? Not liberty from a bad human life so that we can enjoy a good human life. No, no, no. Liberty from all human life, from a mortal life. We are no longer captives, bound in the prison of mortality. We are lifted out of it. And now, here's one other example. This, of course, is Luke 7:22. And it is Jesus talking. It seems that John wants to know, is this really the Christ? And that's what we're talking about. How do we know that we are being lifted out of mortality and into that impersonal life. And John wants to know, is this Christ? How do we know that this is the one that should come? And Jesus answers them and says, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see. And of course, that means that you who were entertaining a personal sense of life, companionship, supply, wisdom, now you are beginning to see. Before I was blind, but now I am seeing. There is an impersonal sense of companionship, which is omnipresence. There's an impersonal sense of supply, which is invisible spiritual substance, evermore appearing, a wellspring of water springing up into life everlasting, the bread which never ends. And now I'm beginning to see I have an impersonal body, and it is infinite. The lame walk, yes, those that could not walk in the light because they were entertaining only a personal sense, the natural man, is beginning to get up and walk, take up thy body and walk, take up thy new consciousness and walk. The lepers are cleansed, those that are being eaten away little by little by a personal sense of self, which is rapidly coming to an end, are cleansed from that belief in a personal sense of self. They are beginning to live and move and have their being in the impersonal Christ life. The deaf hear. Yes, those that have been deaf to my voice begin to have the ears that can hear, that can receive impartations within from the impersonal life about the truth of that life. There are no impartations about a life out here. There are no impartations about a personal sense of life. If you are receiving impartations about a personal sense of life, you are not receiving truth. You are listening to the wrong voice. That which is received in the silence is always the truth, and always about the I, the impersonal life. And the dead are raised. Yes, those that are living in a prison of mortality are dead. They are living, well, let us put it plainly, my friends. All mortality is dead. Jesus called them the walking dead. Let the dead bury the dead. Mortality is dead. There is no impersonal life in a personal sense of life. God is too pure to behold a personal sense of life. Which life are you living in? If you are living in a personal sense of life, you are dead. However, Christ tells us plainly, this impersonal sense of life, the conscious awareness of the impersonal life, has come to raise you out of that dead life into life everlasting. You see, no personal sense of self is ever going to have eternal life. Flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life. Well, we are told these things plainly, but we don't really want to look at them in depth because we are still entertaining a personal sense of life, a personal sense of supply, a personal sense of companionship, a personal sense of intelligence, personal sense of body. But we are commanded to come out and be separate. Lazarus, come forth from the tomb. the dead are raised, and if you are meditating and communing with the impersonal life, you are being lifted out of the dead, out of the grave. It's happening as we speak. If you are no longer, well, if you are practicing no longer entertaining a personal sense of life or self or things or people or places or body or intelligence or supply, if you are refusing to entertain that, if it's not in your thoughts, then it is dying. It is being rubbed out and you are being raised up into a conscious awareness of the eternal impersonal life. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And the poor, of course, is the poor in spirit, the poor in conscious awareness. This talk goes out and touches many people at many states and stages of consciousness. And if it touches one who has been entertaining a personal sense of supply and companionship and health, and they begin to have that inner quickening, that vibration within that says, yes, this is right, I know this. Now, this is on the right track, I can feel it. Then this is the poor in spirit having the gospel, the good news, preached to them. And the good news, of course, is that you were never born and you will never die. But you must step out of mortality and into an impersonal life, into the conscious awareness of impersonal Christ living itself. That is what will never die. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And that, of course, is Christ's way of saying, what, doth this offend you, that you must lay down the entire personal sense of life, that you must leave father, mother, brother, sister for me, for my name's sake? Well, he says, in another place, if that offends you, then you're not worthy of me. Which simply means, if you can't do it, you're going to have to die again, and again, and again. But if you can do it, then you will discover eternal life, which brings up into life everlasting. So if you are not offended in this, then you are blessed indeed. That's what Christ is saying. So, we have a work ahead of us. That of deciding that this is what we want, our own eternal selfhood, and then making the decision to begin to catch ourselves when we are entertaining a personal sense. You see, actually, in your true identity as the impersonal life, you have never been caught in the prison. You have never been captive in the prison of mortality. However, knowing that and having the conscious awareness of that is two different things. Knowing it intellectually will not free you from having to experience death yet again, or birth. But having the conscious awareness of it, practicing the principle from this point forward of refusing to entertain a personal life, a personal sense of self, but really doing what it says and ceasing from man whose breath is in his nostril, by realizing that the natural man, well, God cannot even see any natural man, by deciding, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to stop entertaining a personal sense of self, or life, or companionship, or supply, And I'm going to rest back and receive the conscious awareness of the impersonal life, of impersonal supply. See, God gives its infinite supply to the impersonal self. God gives its omnipresence to the impersonal self. God gives its eternal life to the impersonal self. And when you are resting in the conscious awareness of the impersonal life, then you inherit all of the heavenly riches. Because then and then only are you joint heir with Christ. No person is joint heir with Christ. No flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. So, these are some of the things that have been revealed to me this week as I have entertained, or rather pondered and contemplated, what it means to lay down a personal sense of life and experience the I being lifted up out of that tomb, the I of impersonal life, impersonal Christ life, what it means to come into the conscious awareness that I, impersonal Christ life, liveth me. I hope that this helps those of you that are ready to take this next step. He who loses his life shall find the impersonal life. He that really and truly loses any sense of personal supply shall find that impersonal, invisible spiritual substance appearing as all needs fulfilled. He who loses his personal sense of companionship shall find the impersonal, everywhere, omnipresence. Love, everywhere, omnipresence. And he who loses his personal sense of body, of health, of life, shall discover the impersonal, eternal, incorporeal body that was not born and cannot die. As a conscious living awareness, all of these become a conscious living awareness. Because why? Because awareness is your consciousness. And you are coming out of the mortal mind, and the I is being lifted up into divine consciousness. The conscious awareness of itself everywhere. Well, I thank you for drawing this out of me. Some of it I had been pondering already, some of it I had realized, but even more of it came out today as we made this talk. If you see a personal sense of self anywhere, you are entertaining it in your mind, because it does not exist. Otherwise, God could see it. If you let that go and become willing to have the conscious awareness of the impersonal life, the eternal, infinite, immortal life, the incorporeal, impersonal Christ life, then, well, you have found the kingdom of heaven, the realm where God is. You have found the identity that God does see, and seeing it, the words are thundered, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."